Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Welcome back to the Tennis Connected Studios for March 7th, 2017. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to preview the BNP Paribas Open from Indian Wells, California. Before we begin this week's show, let's introduce our co-host Parsa. How are you today, buddy?
I'm doing great. How's it going up there?
Doing excellent, man. Looking forward to some fantastic tennis in the month of March. Obviously, it's March Madness dubbed after the NCAA college tournament. Wicked tournament coming up in Indian Wells as well as Miami, which will follow this one. And I can't wait, really. And also want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor for this week's show, Top Notch Tennis Tours, Parsa. For anybody looking to get down for the remainder of this tournament as well as for Miami and the ensuing clay court season, make sure to hit up Top Notch Tennis Tours. So Parsa, we're back in action after a lengthy break after the Australian Open. So we've had a lot to digest and look forward to and, really get geared up for this tournament, the first Masters 1000 of the season, as well as the premier tournament on the women's side. A lot of great things happening. Unfortunately, we had Serena Williams having to bow out today, as well as Miami with a left knee injury that she sustained, I guess, after the Australian Open or during. And we'll get into a little bit of some background information that I have on that, courtesy of her coach, Patrick Mortalagu. But other than that, on the men's side, it's fully loaded. Pretty much everybody is in the draw, except for, unfortunately, once again, defending finalist Milos Raonic, who had to pull out of the Delray Beach final against Jack Sock, handing him that title, and then having to forfeit this tournament. He's going to lose about 600 points. So that's going to be a big blow for the big Canadians. So, Parsa, any thoughts coming into this tournament as an overall? They just have done such a great job, hyping up this tournament and giving it so many of those excellent nuances with these, the Michelin star chefs and, just the atmosphere and the prize money and the Hawkeye on every court and all of these awesome things that they put into place have really elevated this tournament to its right there with the Grand Slams. I know it will never have the same merit, but I think in terms of the hype around it and the publicity, I think it's pretty much right there.
Yeah, definitely, in competition with the Slams, it's getting that big, that prestigious of an event that all the players want to be there. And despite the problems the Williams sisters have had in the past, they've made a reemergence there. And it's been an incredible relationship that Oracle and company have brought to that beautiful, it's Larry Ellison, I guess is his name.
Yes.
He's brought this incredible opportunity for tennis to the forefront, willing to spend the money to make it an event that everyone wants to go to and clamors to go to and waits for it in the calendar year. So that's fantastic. But before we even get to that, Nima, yes. How about a shout out to Sam Querrey for winning Acapulco? Pretty cool, huh?
What an incredible tournament that was. And then you had Tsonga winning in Rotterdam, and you had, and winning in Marseille the week before that. He was actually going to bail on this tournament because, they're expecting a child with his fiancée, but he's here, and he's going to be the seventh seed. We'll see what his focus level is like. But, for Querrey to go into that event, to beat Carl Edmund, who's playing tennis of his life, to beat Goffin, to beat Nadal, to beat Kyrgios, to beat Dominic Thiem, the defending champion, it doesn't get much better than that. And you can see, to be honest with you, I watched a majority of his matches. I think that he took that match from Nadal. I think Kyrgios definitely had a chance to win that match in the semifinals, but he got a little bit too cute at the beginning of the second set after easily winning the first set. And then Sam blew him away 6-1, and then he just toughed out that 7-5 third setter. But nevertheless, at the end of the day, it's the win is the win, and he completely deserves that. And It was a long time coming, I think. I mean, you saw flashes of that with him, beating Djokovic at Wimbledon last year, coming in now. And I think with his game, with his forehand, with his improved backhand and his monster serve, he's right there. I've always considered Query to be a very one-dimensional type of player, but I mean
Yeah.
that dimension is a good dimension to be in, in my
Yeah,
opinion.
couldn't agree more. I
Yeah.
mean, and the addition of his backhand now has really opened up his game. He's able to play both sides of the court now,
Yes.
and that means a lot of ranking spots. So, great job by him.
Yeah, and he's up to 26 in the world and not a ton of points to defend, maybe apart from Wimbledon for the rest of the year. So he's going to have a decent shot, in my opinion, of really, moving up, maybe even to the top 15. We'll see how it goes, but he's going to have to keep producing this the same level of tennis. So Parsa, jumping right into, what transpired a couple hours ago with Serena pulling out. As a lot of people know who are following, the site on Tennis Connected, I've done a couple, candid interviews with Patrick Mortalagu, after the Australian Open, as well as just publishing one yesterday or on Monday, talking about, how they were getting ready for this tournament. And in that article, the most recent one that I published, Mortalagu said that, Serena put everything she had into winning that Australian Open, both mentally and physically, and it was a little bit different compared with the other majors that she's won because she was chasing Graf's record for so long. Now that she got that, likelihood was that she was going to pay the price. And I really appreciated, Patrick giving us that type of insight, even though, he's her coach. And it's fascinating, and it's in that article, so you can go on the site right now for everybody out there and read that. But you got to give Mortalagu a lot of credit. He's done a heck of a job. He's got that beautiful new academy in the French Riviera, and you can see the atmosphere that he's created there has really blossomed and aided a lot of players into their success. You have Goffin making a couple finals this year. Dimitrov's had a couple great events. Pavlyuchenkova has been playing well. Chardy, who's an ambassador of the tournament, you got Alisa Cornet, and then even during the preseason, I was learning all of this stuff that I didn't know before. And you had Djokovic training there, and Struff, and Raonic, and Wickmeyer, and I mean, you look at in the previous generation, you had like Bollettieri's Academy, and Nick was dominating the scene. But I think you're getting to that point, Parsa, where you're gonna see the baton being passed over maybe to Patrick. He's obviously a much younger guy. He's about 40 years younger, and he's in the prime of his career with Serena, and he's got all of these things going on. So credit to him, and credit to him overall as well for being so candid in these interviews. And we're gonna have a nice series of these going forward as how they get ready for the clay court season, grass court season, U.S. Open hard courts, and then U.S. Open as well. So everybody, watch out for that. But again, bottom line, very big blow to the BNP Paribas Open for not having Serena present, as well as in Miami, which is basically her home tournament because she's right there. So with that absence, we had Pliskova moving into the number three seed. She's right at the top, so it kind of shook things up, and we had some lucky losers, jumping in other spots. But Parsa, how do you No, just another second here on Serena. How do you factor in this result? I mean, it's like I said, right? You have a 35-year-old legend, greatest of all time player, winning the Australian Open, but nevertheless, age and everything is gonna, be on top of her as well. And there comes a time where, that's gonna obviously be an issue, right?
Yeah,
Nevertheless.
and I don't think it should be a shock to anyone. I mean,
Yes.
to be honest with you, pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
She's clearly a champion, clearly a warrior, and she's not going to stop until her body fails her. So
Yes.
we're going to keep watching her until that happens, I guess. So maybe it's the beginning. Maybe it's been happening and we don't know about it. Maybe you're getting a great insight right now, and everyone should take advantage of it. Read the articles and listen to what you post because you're getting the word right from the source, so it's incredible.
Yeah.
Kudos to that, Nima, by the way.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks, man. And yeah, no, and I feel that when you look at what Patrick said as well too in the previous article, their focus is to win all the Grand Slams, and that's the goal that he set for Serena at the beginning of the year as well too. He goes, "We're trying to win every single one, even though we haven't done that in a calendar year yet, together." But this year she's played two tournaments with Auckland and the Australian Open. She's missing these two. Goes into the clay court season. I would be shocked if she plays more than one clay court warm-up and the French, Wimbledon, maybe the Rogers Cup or Cincy, U.S. Open, and that will be it for the year. So last year she played 8 tournaments. This year I think we're going to be lucky if we see Serena Williams at 6 tournaments. That's my opinion. I mean, that's not coming from Patrick. That's coming from me. So, you know, we'll wait and see. But every tournament that we do get to see her, I mean, obviously history is on the line. And she's chasing Margaret Court to get to 24 and then, you know, distance herself from everybody forever at 25, which would be an absolutely incredible achievement. So let's see what happens with that. But Parsa, we do have a tournament on hand here that's getting underway tomorrow for the women's, with the men getting firing away on Thursday. So we have Pliskova, U.S. Open finalist, at the top of this draw. She's not the number one seed, she's the number three seed, but she's moved into the top bracket there. And, you know, Parsa, this tournament now, we had a clear-cut favorite in Serena. I mean, a lot of people probably would have thought that. Now we don't. And we have Kerber, which we'll get to in a moment. She hasn't been playing well at all. She will return, Parsa, back to the number one player in the world after this tournament, even if she loses in the first round. So she's going to be back to number one. I mean, does she deserve that? I guess so. I mean, because the rankings don't lie, right? But with that said, how do you look at this little quarter now and this half on the top half for the women with Pliskova and Svitolina? And, I mean, Lucic, Baroni, and Muguruza, reigning French Open champion, Sibulkova, Pavlyuchenkova, Konta, who I think is going to do some damage here, Garcia, and Kuznetsova. What's your overall thoughts on this?
I mean, first off, you know, being a tournament with such a gap, it's really hard to, you know where everyone's gauge is right now. It's, yes. You know, you don't know how well Pliskova is serving and moving, or Svitolina, how well she's creating for herself. You know that they've been having great years, right? But you're not exactly sure where they stand at this very moment, which is what tennis is about. So that being said, I mean, you take some things you know from the past, in that you know that the court service can play slower at night, and you look at the draw and you see, okay, who's going to be playing at night, and try to figure out who can get through. And someone like Muguruza, for me, It catches my attention. A slower court, the ball will bounce up. I think she's going to have time to hit through the court. And I think, you know, that's the one that I'm going to keep my eye on, as well as the movers. You know, so the Gavrilova, Svitolina, yeah. I think her, Konta, I think those, Kuznetsova, I think they've become very, very dangerous on this type of surface. Even Sibulkova as well.
Yeah, I think for me, the two standout players, I mean, Muguruza obviously is somebody definitely to look at, but I think she's had some knee and leg problems. So I think for that reason, I don't know how committed she's going to be to this tournament physically, how much she's been able to train. So for that reason, Parsa, I'm going to have to go with Svitolina as one of my semifinalists, as well as Joanna Konta, who is, I mean, playing some great tennis. You know, the 10th and 11th seeds, respectively, for me, are going to be in the semifinals.
Yeah, I'm going to go with, I think Muguruza will get through. Or Lucic Baroni, too, Nima. You know, she's a shocker. She can play some terrible matches, but she can take out big players, and she can play at a high level. But that being said, I'm just going to go. I don't know anything about injuries. Like I said, that's the tough time of the year right now, is we don't know who's banged up and who isn't. But if I went straight forward, I'd go Muguruza against... I definitely like Konta, but because she's defending some points, I feel a little bit more, you know, like she's in a new position. And so I'm going to take Kuznetsova in the semi.
Yeah, that's always a safe bet. She's, you know, a wily veteran who's... You're never really surprised when she puts forth, you know, a substantial result. So moving now to the bottom half, we have a returning Madison Keys to action, which is great to see, coming in as the 9th seed. She's been out of action with some injuries. She hasn't played since last year, I believe. So she's going to be around. We have Wozniacki, who's made a couple finals since the Australian Open. So watch out for her. She's definitely not going to win this tournament, but she can, I think, definitely do some damage, which I would be picking for. Moving down, we have Halep, who, again, a little bit under the radar. We don't really know what kind of form she's in, although she is the number 4 seed here. Radwanska, again, not in top flight, but you know, she's the number six seed. Coco Vandeweghe playing in the States. Let's spend a second on her part. So how do you think these conditions, you know, favor Vandeweghe and her big serve and big forehand combination?
I mean, it could bode well, very well for her. Her power can put the ball through the court, and okay. That's an advantage on a slow court like this. So I think she can do very well in front of her home crowd, or, you know, sometimes those things go the wrong way, as we know with Stosur in Australia. So we'll see, but I think she's going to be in her element, and I think you can see a good run from her.
Yeah, I mean, she's got a tough draw, potentially Safarova in round two in her first match, to follow by Venus Williams in her third match, followed by Radwanska after that, and you know what I mean? So it goes on and on. These are not easy events, as we know. So for me, it looks a little bit tough to, you know, to see her really flourish. And I think, you know, the person that we have to speak about now is Kerber. Kerber's the number two player in the world, soon to be back to number one. You know, what's up with her? She hasn't been playing well this year, part. So is it more a function of, is it a mental thing? I really don't think her game has changed that much. I think it's, you know what I mean? So again, because it's so early in the year, as you said, it's really tough to us to give an overall assessment. I mean, you know, going into the U.S. Open, we've seen so much, three slams, a bunch of other tournaments. We really know what's going down. But entering this event, it's really tough to gauge that. And I just don't see Kerber having a substantial run here. I mean, I'm looking at maybe fourth round. That's what I'm thinking. But, you know, what are your thoughts overall on the German? And can she progress deep into this draw?
I think sometimes, you know, this is just my personal opinion, nothing that I know. But when you achieve a certain level, you try, instead of continuing to do what makes you successful, you try and mimic the results. And when you try really hard to garner the same results, it's not what got you that result in the first place, you know, so it's about what you did that got you to that moment, and then you have to continue to do that. And sometimes I think you can lose sight of that. I think that's a human nature performance type of response I'm giving you. But, you know, it's an important fact that you definitely have to look at. It's an unusual position. It's the same reason in the previous half there I said about Konta and where she has to defend some points. It's a different mentality, and mm-hmm. sometimes that can play on your mind, and you start to focus on the things, you know, other than what's going to actually make you successful. And I think there's potential for that here with Kerber this year. But I think her resiliency will get her back. Maybe she'll struggle all the way to the U.S. Open, but I could see her winning another slam this year.
Yeah, it would be nice to see. I mean, she deserves it. I know she's very hardworking, very nice girl. So we'll see how that unfolds for her.
Just has to get it right, you know, between the years.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I mean, mental is a huge part of this game, as everybody's well aware of. But, you know, Parsa, we got to make some choices here as to what our picks are. I'm going with Wozniacki to make the semifinals, to be joined by... I had a little bit of, you know, a dilemma between Vandeweghe and Venus Williams, but I'm going to go with Vandeweghe to make the semifinals to play Wozniacki. And I'm going to have Wozniacki actually getting through that to the finals and to play, going back to the top here, to play Svitolina, and I'm having Svitolina winning this tournament.
Wow.
You got it, man. What do you have?
I'm going to have, in that bottom semi, I'm going to have Halep advancing the semi, and I'm going to have her against Kerber, and I'm going to have... Kerber beating Halep and facing in my top half. I think it's going to be Muguruza, and I think we're going to get a Muguruza, you know, of course, barring injury, a Muguruza-Kerber final, and I think Kerber's going to work her off the court, and she's going to win this tournament.
As you like to say, very good.
So very good.
So we'll see how that goes down. And again, everybody, women's action gets underway, main draw, first round tomorrow. So, Parson, now as we shift gears to the men's side, we have Andy Murray, I think, smiling right now, Parson, because he kind of ducked pretty much everybody that he was probably afraid of here. You have you know, Fed and Nadal and Djokovic and Kyrgios and Del Potro. Everybody's on the other side, so he won't see any of those guys until the final. Murray comes in off of his first Dubai victory, which I think gave him some confidence after losing early in the Australian Open. Murray will open up probably against Yinsen Liu, with Lopez lurking, Carreno Busta, who's had some nice results on clay, Batista Agut, 16th seed, who's, you know, very dangerous guy who can maybe beat Murray in this environment. Let's also, you know, make mention here, Parsons, that Murray's never won this tournament, and he seldomly does well in this tournament. But he's the number one seed, and he knows that to really put some distance between him and Djokovic, that he's going to have to do really well here and in Miami, because Djokovic has a ton of points to defend all the way through to the French, and then kind of Murray takes over after that, right? With the Wimbledon victory, with making the finals of Cincy, then, you know, deep in the quarters of US Open, and then winning five tournaments in a row to end off the year. So if he can really pack on the points now, that will alleviate some of the stress as the year, you know, moves forward. So I think that you're going
to
see a
very... Not to mention, Nima, that he'd have one incredible year, right?
Yes.
Wow.
And for sure. And I think that that's where you look at it, and I think you're going to see a razor-sharp Andy Murray coming into these two Masters 1000 events, just based on the mental edge he has. I mean, Cole Schreiber had him hung and dry in Dubai. He had, what, 7 match points? It was that 2018 tiebreaker in the second set. Something crazy. I've never seen that before. And then he just washed him away 6-1 in the third. But when you look at Murray, he's got that, you know, he's number one. And guys know that. And they got to always do something a little bit extra special to get by him. And I think he's going to feed off of that. I really don't see anybody, I mean, we'll talk about some of the other guys, but in this complete half that can really bother him. I mean, Goffin is playing some great tennis, but I don't think he's got the firepower to get through him. Cuevas just three-peated in Sao Paulo in a rain delay final yesterday. Tsonga, who's been playing really well, but again, I don't know how much of his, he might even leave after his first round if his, you know, if his fiance gives birth to their child. So I can't really, you know, pin him going super deep here. Stan has not, you know, Wawrinka has not played well here historically as the number third seed. I know we can't overlook him, but again, he's coming off of an injury and he never plays well here, even worse than Murray. And then you got Burdick, who again might go deep because that's the kind of guy that he is, but he's not good to finish over the line. You have Isner, and then Thiem, who's again maybe burnt out a little bit from playing a million tournaments already in 2017. So Monfils might be a guy. So it's a lot to talk about here, Parsa. What stands out to you before we give everybody our two semifinalists here?
I mean, it's definitely the Andy Murray story for me is incredible. You know, he's taken the reins as the number one and just continued this ridiculous year. What Djokovic and Federer and Nadal have made him do to push himself to this level is quite impressive. After all these years, to continue to be, you know, the second or the third or the fourth best player in the world, or the fifth even, and boom, here he is. He's the top dog and he's the kingpin right now. And I think he deserves the limelight because he is the best player in the world and he's playing like the best player in the world. And he walks around like he's the best player in the world and because he simply is the best player in the world. And I think that means a lot more than anything ever could mean to him. I think it's something he went for. I think it's an achievement that he'll talk about for the rest of his life, obviously. And I think he's not done, Nima. I think he's going to be here for a little bit because Lendl wants it that way. And I think they just buy into it and they're similar type people and they understand each other and it's just working right now.
Yeah. I mean, those are some very valid points. And again, he's going to want to keep it going. There's no reason for him. He took him so long to get to this plateau. Why would you want to leave? Right. So somebody's really going to have to come after him and knock him off that pedestal. So I do have Murray, with that said, getting through to the semifinals. And I'm looking at the bottom half here. I like Monfils because I think this is the tournament where he can go deep. And I really, I mean, like I said, Stan for me, I think you're going to still see him put in some incredible results this year. I just don't see it happening in the desert here. So I'm going to be going with Murray and Monfils as my semifinalists. What do you have?
Yeah, and I think I'm going to have Murray going through, and I'm going to go with Goffin. I think he's going to, I don't know, just grind and find his way.
Well, Goffin would play Murray in the quarters.
So is that the quarters?
Yeah. So they're in the same quarter there.
So never mind. So I think that'll be the quarter. How about that?
Yeah.
So I have to. I see why you picked Monfils. First of all, I mean that's a fantastic pick. I mean, this is really tough because you've got your atypical matchups. You've got Bertich, who makes every semifinal. Why wouldn't you pick him?
Yes.
You know, you got Isner with the massive serves. Zverev, you know, Serenvali. You just don't know which surface he's going to make to. You know, if he wins a couple rounds, I mean, look out, the guy can go far. Dominic Thiem, who needs time, well, guess what, Indian Wells is going to give you time. So another interesting placement for in this part of the draw. I think this is the draw that someone can make a name for themselves or solidify their name. How about that?
Yeah.
Gosh, I mean, Monfils is written all over. Monfils there to do so. You know, it's a tough one. But I think you know, I didn't even talk about Wawrinka, but you know, I don't know. I don't see Wawrinka being able to do anything there. So it's Kohlschreiber. I don't know why his name pops out, but maybe because it's that match. But before that match, he was in form and doing well. You know, maybe he's gonna be able to sneak his way through and get a little lucky.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he continues to improve. He's a very fit guy, super solid off of the ground, and very good serve for his height. So there's no reason why he can't go deeper. So I don't mind that pick one bit. So Parson, now as we move down to the bottom half, we have, I mean, awesome stuff potentially on the cards here. So let's talk about the quarter before the major quarter here. We have Cilic's number 6 seed. We have Jack Sock, who, just coming off of his second tournament victory, albeit a walkover by Raonic, but he still has 2 titles in the bag. That's all that matters. We have an in-form Dimitrov. We have Lucas Pui, who's another exciting up-and-comer. Query, who just won Acapulco. Jules Muller, who nobody wants to play with that, you know, wicked lefty serve. Nishikori, who's solid as a rock. So a lot of, you know, potential things that could be good here. We got Borna Chorich as well, Taylor Fritz, Benoit Paire. A lot of nice, you know, Daniel Medvedev, who's another up-and-comer. He's been playing some good ball as of late. So a lot of good things that could happen here. If Dimitrov can get by Jack Sock, I think that would be a really good match. I like him to get to the semifinals here. If Jack Sock gets by Dimitrov, then I like Cilic to make the semifinals. That's my pick, but I have to stick with one, so I'm going to go with Dimitrov to make the semis. And then Parsa, as I move down, first of all, I'll give you a chance to, you know, analyze this quarter before we go to the most enticing one at the bottom here.
I love your ifs. This happens, then this happens, because it's just probably spot on. So very interesting to hear your take on how you see it happening. A guy you really didn't talk too much about is, for me, is Nishikori. I think, you know, every time he's in a draw, and you might do this, I sort of don't pay attention to where he is, and every time I watch him, I'm like, wow, he's just that much better than his opponent right now, and that means he's a really good player, and he catches my eye every single time, and I think he's the kind of guy that takes the ball early and will love this surface. The ball will sort of sit, it'll grit the court and bounce up instead of going through, and I think he's just going to sit there, take balls early all day long, and just rip people. I think it could be a very strong event for him, and I'm going to take Nishikori for my top half there.
Okay. And now, Parsa, let's get to the main show here. We have the final quarter. So we have 45 Grand Slams in this quarter, Parsa. You have Rafa Nadal, who has 14, Roger Federer, who has 18, you have Del Potro, who has 1, and you have Novak Djokovic, who has 12. So it's just incredible that this is the way that it played out. Rafa Nadal plays either Garcia Lopez or Gaudio Pela in his first round, and probably Verdasco in the third round, who's been playing some good ball. Steve Johnson, again, playing pretty well this year. You have Fed. I think he gets through Seller or Stefan Robert pretty easily, and he'll get through Johnson as well, probably exploit his backhand. Fourth round, Parsa, potentially Nadal, Federer. Fourth round. Then you have Nick Kyrgios, who's, you know, semis of Marseille, semis of Acapulco, beat Djokovic in probably one of the best serving performances you will ever see. 25 aces, won over 80% of his first serves, 75% of his second serves, never lost his serve, just was dialed in the entire time, was incredible to see from Nick. So if he can keep that going, I mean, watch out. I think he gets by, you know, the lucky loser or Zabalos in his first match. Very tricky encounter potentially against Alex Zverev in the third round, to be followed by either the winner of Juan Martin Del Potro or Djokovic in the fourth round. So Nole and Delpo have to play in the third round for the right to play either Zverev, Alex Zverev, or Kyrgios in the fourth round to play the winner of Nadal or Federer potentially in the quarters. I mean, look, if you're there this week for this tournament and next week, you're in a good place, because you're not going to go wrong with any of those matches. But you know, analyzing this, is you have so many great dynamics and so many guys who are playing well and such Hall of Fame type of players, that it's going to be tough to analyze this one. But I mean, Parsa, I'm going to let you have the first bite here. What do you think is going to happen here?
Yeah, I mean, I you know, believe in this Nadal resurgence. I think that's something that is strong. For some reason, I'm not buying into Federer right now. I think, like I was talking about mentality before, before the Australian Open, it had been a long drought, and I feel like he's sort of back in that cruise control mode a little bit. You know, he's relaxed. He's shown that he is one of the still the better players in the world, or even the best player in a tournament in a Grand Slam. And but the truth is that he has been slowing down. I mean, I think everyone can clearly have seen that. And he played incredible, inspired tennis and healthy tennis in Australia. But as he's been training more and been more physical and having a tax on his body, I think he remembers that he's 35 years old. And I think it's tough to get up for every single event and to push himself to the way that he needs to be to prepare. And for that reason, I don't think this is going to be his strongest event. To be honest, I hope he goes and wins it. But as a fan, I don't know why. It's something that I'm not quite buying into right now. So for me in that section, I look to Nadal as the resurgent, the younger one, the one that still has unfinished business and some proof to put out there that maybe he is the best player in the world now and maybe forever, you know. But he's got a way to go, and we know that he's got a history of problems. So he's probably going to be good for maybe the next 6 months to two years or so. But we know there's inevitably with him, but why can't he go out and dominate? So I think this could be a good start for Nadal. So I'm definitely going to have him go into the quarterfinal here, mm-hmm. Which brings me to the second part. And I feel like, why, Nima? I feel like Zverev is the guy right now. And that's a tough section. You've got Novak and Del Potro are going to play again. And then obviously you have Kyrgios, who's in form, but on a faster court last week in Acapulco, and I think that's going to hurt him. And so I think Zverev goes through that section there, that little mini section, to play Djokovic in the quarter. And I think we're going to see Zverev sort of announce his arrival. And I'm going to have a Zverev. Is it Zverev Nadal quarterfinal, huh?
Yes.
Wow. I mean, that's intense, huh?
And they played last year too with Zverev holding a match point, and he missed that duck volley. Remember?
Oh right. Okay. Well, maybe I'm onto something there. Yeah. I remember the match now that you say it. Yeah. Let's see.
Time for payback, right?
I think it could be Nima.
Yeah.
I'm having Zverev go through on the bottom.
Yeah, you know, it's not a bad pick. You can't really go wrong, is what I'm saying, because there's so many, you know, great players here. I definitely
think a bit bold though. No.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that if Fidel happens again, I think Nadal gets him this time. He lost that Acapulco final as well as the Australian Open, so he's hungry regardless. It doesn't matter even if he's won 10 tournaments in a row. He's not a complacent guy by any means, but he's playing better. Moya's on his side. Let's also give a quick shout out to Tony Nadal, who's stepping down after this year. We haven't talked about that, but I think he's in great hands with Carlos. They've known each other for ages, and he's probably like his family to him by this point. So he feels super comfortable with Moya there. So I think it's going to be a great transition. Francisco Roig is there too. So he's got basically three coaches right now. Let's call it what it is. So I mean, he's got a fantastic infrastructure, and he's got a trainer and physio and all that stuff. So he's good to go. I like Nadal to get through to the quarters. I agree with you that if it's Zverev Kyrgios, that Zverev will get through. I think that these conditions suit him better. On a faster court, definitely would have to give it to Nick, just because he can just, pound you away with his serve. I wouldn't. I mean, Del Potro plays really well at this tournament too. Like, he's had a great history here. That's going to be a toss-up for me, but you got to go with Djokovic just because he's dominated this event 3, 4 years in a row now. To get through that, against Zverev's going to have to play the match of his life. He can do it, and if that happens, and if it's Nadal Zverev, I'm going to have to go with Nadal. I think it's going to be a little bit more straightforward because I think it's going to take a lot out of him to beat Djokovic, and he's going to be beat up a little bit, and he's still physically growing and getting stronger. So I think Nadal gets through that to go to the semifinals against Dimitrov, which then will be interesting because I think Dimitrov, after their Australian Open semifinal, Nadal said to him that if you keep playing like this, you're going to win these tournaments. So I think Dimitrov's starting to buy into that, and he looks physically in good shape, and this could be his year to really, get through to the top 10, top 8, 5, whatever. So if that takes place, best of three dynamic is a lot different because you got to be sharp from the get-go. You can't go down a set and a half and expect to win. It's difficult. I still think Nadal will get through, but it will be a good one. And then I think it'll be a Nadal Murray final, and I think Murray will win 7-5 in the third set. That's what I have.
I got Zverev against Nishikori, and I think Nishikori is the one that's going to advance there, and Murray. Would I pick Cole Schreiber?
Yes.
I think Murray goes through there, obviously, and I think Andy Murray's going to win this thing, like you.
Yeah. You got to. It's more. It's not because he's the number one ranked player. It's not only that for me. It's the fact that I think this is his time. You know what I mean? Like, he's gonna start doing the things that he hasn't done before in his career. That could also mean winning the French Open. You know what I mean? And so I think he's got through that grind that he had to go through at the end of last year to, lock up number one. So he's had a decent amount of time off, came strong in, won Dubai, even though he didn't play his best tennis. I watched a little bit of footage from him today on Facebook training. So he looked excellent there. So I think he's going to have a great tournament, and he's going to be your 2017 BNP Paribas Open champion.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more. It's his time.
I think it's his time. That's what it comes down to. So, Parsa, before we wrap up things, proceedings for this week, do you have any closing thoughts on this tournament or any dynamics? One dark horse men's player that I want everybody to watch out for is Karen Khachanov. Big powering Russian. Really like what this guy's doing. He's got that Murat Safin mold where he's got those, he's a good looking guy. He's got a massive forehand. He's got a huge serve, good backhand, physical specimen. You know what I mean? And I think that this guy can really do some damage. His forehand is a little bit clay courtish, if I can say that. But I think that he's talented enough to figure that out on a relatively faster hard court or a grass court. But watch out for him. I think he plays Robredo in his first round. Robredo coming in on a protective ranking. But if he can get through that and navigate through, he's going to start getting dangerous. And watch out for this guy in the next year, year and a half. You have any thoughts, Parson, and anything in particular we should watch out for here?
Yeah, and I think it's time to watch the American Francis Tiafoe.
Yeah.
I think he's got a winnable first round, and I think he can beat Feliciano Lopez as well. It takes an athlete to beat Lopez, and that's exactly what TFO is. And
incredible.
I think I think we'll get a test for Andy Murray there in the second round or third round for TFO. You know, something close, maybe like a 7-5 and then a pretty routine 6-1 or something in the second. But I can see, you know, a little excitement like we got with Noah Rubin and Federer, you know, with an opportunity for TFO to do something. And I think he's more than capable of doing something. I just don't think he'll beat Andy Murray at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I love what TFO's doing. I think he's on the right track. He's got, the guy is like a laser beam out there. You know what I mean? He's so fast and incredible. I mean, incredible movement. He's worked on his serve. He's got that looser wrist at the beginning. And I think, you know, some really good things, you know, are ahead for the American. And it's going to be, I'm just really looking forward to this getting underway. So, you know, let the games begin, as they say. So, Parsa, with that said, you know, Parsa and I will be back in a couple weeks' time to wrap up this event and look forward to the Miami Masters. I mean, basically, Parsa, now we're getting into that meat and potatoes of the year where we have, you know, a bunch of Masters 1000s and premier events as well as Grand Slams pretty much all the way through until the end of the U.S. Open. So it's going to be podcast season for us as well as, you know, a great time in the tennis calendar, pardon me. So, you know, Parsa and I, like I said, we'll be back. Parsa, thanks for joining us this week.
And make sure, you know, everyone who's listened, if my voice is better, please let us know.
Yeah, Parsa has been, we're trying a new setup, so hopefully that transpires. Again, for me, it sounded much better than in previous weeks, so hopefully it did for everybody out there. And for anybody looking to get down to the Miami Open coming up after Indian Wells, make sure to hit up Top Notch Tennis Tours for all your ticket and traveling needs, as well as make sure to hit us up on tennisconnected.com. Follow Parsa at Parsa Sammy on Twitter, myself at Tennis Connected. You can also download this podcast on iTunes. Make sure to check out all of our great photos. We have a photographer down there with Beth Wilson taking some awesome pictures throughout the tournament in India as well. So that's going to be fantastic. And looking forward to some great tennis. Once again, thank you everybody else for listening. Be good. Enjoy Fortnite in